On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. This episode is supported by Nationwide, a proud partner of Independence. Nationwide helps you prepare, adapt, and grow your business with insights on customer behaviors and emerging risks, in-depth training, personalized marketing, and more. Visit nationwide.com/proudpartner to learn more and get started. Today, our guest is independent agency principal Spencer Holden with Erickson Insurance Services. Spencer is the former chair of the Big I and recently received the highest award the National Association confers, the Woodworth Memorial Award. Congratulations and welcome to the show, Spencer.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you once again, and very grateful for all that you do for the industry, bringing these topics to the national audience.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. And for those who can safely surf, it's ericksoninsurance.com, and Erickson is E-R-I-C-S-O-N, ericksoninsurance.com. And Spencer, we want to dive into this topic on remote work for sure, you being almost the poster boy now for it. But before we do that, could you just tell us, like, setting aside the remote work issue for a moment, just a little bit about your firm, you know, where it came from and what your sweet spot is in terms of the client base.
Absolutely. Erickson is 75 years old, purchased by my father from Mr. Erickson in the early 70s. My brother and I purchased the firm from our father about 20 years ago. We have 27 employees, property and casualty only, located primarily in Connecticut, although we're licensed in all 50 states and write in all 50 states. Our focus is personal lines for the affluent community. So it's about 80% personal lines, 20% commercial. The commercial that we do write is a little on the smaller side. And I think that's important to define as we talk about this topic, because remote commuting on a 100% basis, which is what we do for the most part, is not going to work for all independent agencies, but it certainly works for one that has the demographic that we are attracting.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Spencer. When you think about the, I just had a chat with Brian Sullivan, who's been commenting about independent agents for decades and decades. And we were chatting about how people say the independent agent channel, and you get these pundits who are you know, predicting the demise of the independent agent channel. This has been going on for decades. I mean, 40 years that I've been involved with agents, I've heard this stuff. But when you really break it down, there really isn't the channel. The system is just a very large collection of different channels, different ways to write business. And you're yet another example of it. You're right. There could be very large commercial lines agencies that absolutely need to have an office. There are agencies that feel they want to be on Main Street, that they do want to go to the office every day. There are agents who are just writing online, you know, auto insurance, personal lines online, and they've been that way before the pandemic. There's just all sorts of different agencies, and you've made it work for you.
Well, sure. I agree with what you mentioned, Peter. But if you want to go back to the office, as long as you're going back for the right reasons and you're not being closed-minded, you know, the Main Street agent that wants to go back, that's fine. But as long as you've done a thorough evaluation of the pros and cons of remote or hybrid, and even if you're not ready to do 100% remote, I think that you could probably find a very strong, compelling reason why a hybrid model might work for you, even if you're a different demographic than I am.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, thanks for the pushback on that, because I agree with you, the analyzing what works. And I think we're going to land somewhere maybe in the middle of all this. And it's not just the independent agencies. It's there are jobs, you know, out there, Spencer, where it's like if you run a restaurant, if you're a bartender, you know, you got to be at work. But lots of other firms have flexibility, and the world has changed. The insurance world is turned upside down. And in some respects, the talent is available now everywhere. In other respects, it's really hard to find great talent. it's almost like a human supply chain issue is what we're facing. What you've done though is let's talk about Ericsson and what you've done. Back in December of 2020, you were our guest on the On Point show, Spencer, and you said, in reflecting on 2020, which was the worst of the pandemic, certainly the middle of the pandemic, you said we had our best year ever and we did it in our pajamas. And you were describing the shift to 100% remote work. And it does appear to be working, quote, working for your team, the remote work. So maybe you could update us, because it's been a year and a half since we chatted with you about this. How are things going?
So December 2020 ended our best year ever in our pajamas, and December 21 ended an even better year in new pajamas, because we had to replace the old ones. And thus far through 2022, we're actually having a better year from a growth standpoint than we did in 2021. So there's no turning back for us. A lot of the themes, I won't recreate the themes we talked about in that podcast. If your listener didn't hear it, they can go back and listen to it. But the update is that our 8,000 square foot office building that we purchased 7 years ago and did a gut renovation for an extremely high amount of money, we have sold. And we sold that building in January of this year. And we moved into 1,000 square feet in the same town in Connecticut. We have 6 workstations that employees can use at their discretion. And we have a full-time receptionist there for phone, mail, and any potential walk-ins. So we've gone, at this point, we're fully committed to the concept because we basically sold our office building. And like we spoke about in 2020, we make these decisions as a team, not as principals. This is a bottom-up decision-making proposition. And we canvass the team on a consistent basis. And we ask them numerous times, we're going to sell the building. They're like, that's fine. They are as bullish on this whole concept as they've ever been. And they absolutely love it. Now, the other thing, because I want to make sure I do not forget to talk about this, is the talent acquisition and attraction, not to mention retention, because there are plenty of employees that have been asked to go back that don't want to and are leaving independent agencies. But in our particular case, I have 3 employees on staff right now that I have not met in person. One of them is in Tennessee. One of them is in Boston, which is about 2.5 hour drive for us. And one of them is about an hour away in Connecticut. I was speaking with a friendly competitor who was looking for a commercial line CSR. They've been looking for 6 months. This is a couple of weeks ago. They've gone through 2 headhunters, ideal trades, you know, done everything they're supposed to do, and they cannot find a commercial CSR. They do require this person to come into the office, and the geographic constrictions are just overwhelming to find the right person. Meanwhile, on a parallel basis, the person that we hired in Tennessee is a commercial line CSR. We had 60 resumes through Big Eye Hires, and very, very strong candidates. We boiled it down to 6 that were, I could hire any of them. They're all around the country, and we ended up hiring one. So I don't want to, it's all about certainly what the employee wants, but it's also about, you know, how do you grow the firm with talent acquisition? I think you're at a real advantage when you do it, when you have a remote offering.
Right. Okay. So you do have, a small office that you use, people can come in, as you said, at their discretion. And there is a full-time receptionist who's actually sitting in there dealing with the mail and answering the phone and such, right?
That's correct. And we have 5 employees that go in on Tuesdays because they like that one day that they can go in, and they go in and then log on, and it, you know, through technology, everything that belongs to them pops up. As far as email and such, and they enjoy that one day a week, and I do have 1 employee that goes in full time because the home situation just doesn't work for her. So yeah, 1 full time employee in, but it's really up to them. They can go anytime they want.
And this office isn't, is it like in a kind of a suburban area, or not? It's not necessarily on Main Street with a shingle hanging out, or is it?
It is on Main Street with a shingle hanging out. Yes.
Okay.
So it's important that we still had a physical presence, but more symbolic than anything else.
Okay, so I want to ask you about the type of person where this the type of employee that who can make this work for them, but also how you mentioned bottom up decision making. How do your folks feel about this? You said there's no turning back. Have you gotten any feedback from them recently about, you know, here we are, it's been 2 years plus that we've been dealing with this scenario. You said you had your best year ever, you know, three consecutive years, and 22 is tracking that way too. What are they saying?
Well, in preparation for today, I did ask each of my employees to give me the top three reasons they like commuting from home, remote working. And I also asked them to give me any downsides that they've identified. And I tried to, the themes were so consistent. I tried to categorize them. But the number one reason that almost every one of them said was no commuting. And that's not only the time waste of commuting, but it's the wear and tear on the car. It's the gas. I did a quick calculation, sort of back of the napkin, but I mapped out where our employees live to the office. And I think I'm being very conservative when I say this, but the average commute is 21 minutes. So that's 42 minutes a day for 26 employees. It's over 1,000 minutes a day collectively, or 18 hours of commuting time. And so I took that to 91 hours a week to just shy of 5,000 hours a year. So 91 hours a week of commuting time that now is being taken into time with family, time to maybe stay in the office a little later and get some work done. Just a huge time sucker to be sitting in your car commuting to work every day. Some of the other themes are family time, not only get the kids off the bus, being able to be home when the child isn't feeling well, but being able to make a little league game that maybe starts at 4:30 that they weren't able to previously. The other big theme was productivity / less distractions. They like their home office. It's quiet. It's private. It's set up the way that they want to set it up. They don't have colleagues coming in and just trying to chit chat and distracting them. And then we get into, you know, less drama, the high school aspect of the office workplace, less stress. I even had one person tell me that they are so much healthier because they're eating better and they're in a much better routine, sleeping a little bit later, and they just feel their health is good.
That's really interesting. Yeah, that time, I mean, when you and I chatted last on this in December 2020, that it already had become this permanent shift. I mean, it wasn't a couple of months, which we thought it would be in the beginning, that it'd be a disruption of the commute, right? We were well into it then, and you could start to see what was happening, that people were replacing this time, 91 hours a week collectively is incredible, with other things, you know, like, hey, I can go for a walk. I can work out. I can be with the kids. I can, like you said, make the little game. That is just huge, because, and the other thing that I find so astonishing is that we just didn't know. It was just, work was a place we went to. It wasn't, now it's a thing we do, right? It was the work was like, hey, of course I'm going to commute. Of course I got to go in 5 days a week, right? If you had a day off, you know, it was like an event, you know, people were like snickering, like, oh, banker's hours, you know, you're leaving at 3 to go to the doctor's office again or something. And it's just shifted so much, hasn't it?
It has. And this is my 32nd year at Ericsson. And so I've seen all sorts of shifts in the industry, but also just thinking back over those years and the in-office politics. You know, the one person that was always 5 minutes, 7 minutes late, and everybody else would come in and say, why do I have to be here on time? And they're going to be 7 minutes late. You need to speak to them. And, you know, the burnt popcorn, and just all of the, you know, we used to laugh because you spend your entire life looking for that person who you want to spend the rest of your life with and marry them. And even when you spend all that thoughtful time, you find that person, you know, 60% of the time, it doesn't even work out and ends in divorce. But yet you're put in this very small quarters with 20 strangers for 8 hours a day and you're told to get along. And the reality is it just didn't work. I mean, there was so much distraction from personalities not jiving and morale issues that we're constantly trying to fix. All of that has gone away. Nobody has to deal with anybody else they don't want to any longer. They can hang out with people they want to hang out with after hours. So I just think that the whole setting of the office is so much more pleasant now.
Yeah. And, you know, your brethren around the country, agency principals and managers, period, are dealing with this stuff, have dealt with this stuff for decades. You know, the high school drama, as you said, and it's usually I call them, this may sound a little harsh, but I call them the high lousies. They're the ones who got like maybe C's in school, C minus. They always did enough to get by. But they come and they can be incredibly disruptive. You could have this, let's say you've got nirvana with a pretty happy family. One person, just one, can make the whole place kind of toxic, you know?
Yeah, we call it the skunk. The skunk. And we didn't really, because they spray their stuff all over everybody else. But it's important to mention, Peter, that one of the things that we struggled with is being thoughtful on how we do keep that sense of team. And when I speak with other principals, that's the one thing that they're worried about is culture and team. And so we, as I mentioned in a prior podcast, and we've kept this going. And again, we keep this going because it's what the team wants, not because of what we want. But we work from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock every day as a team in five different Zoom rooms. And when I went and asked them, what do you like? What do you miss most about it? Some of them said they miss the office, but most of them said that has been replaced just fine with the Zoom rooms. It gives them 2 hours to sort of work together, share ideas, ask questions, catch up on family, but then they get the afternoon just by themselves. But they love that Zoom time. And I think our sense of team is as mm-hmm. strong, if not stronger, because you didn't have a wall between you.
So that's 5 days a week. You do the
five days a week. We do have an all firm team meeting every other week on Wednesday. So we don't do Zoom rooms on Wednesdays because we meet as a team, but yes. And then of course they can meet and collaborate on special projects as they wish. We have plenty of Zoom rooms that people can just connect to and interact. And that's how we meet with marketing reps and other dignitaries.
I see. Okay. So that, I think I remember you talking about that. So that's still working a year and a half later for you. What did the folks say? Did you ask folks where they were challenged? They don't miss the burnt popcorn, but did they miss anything?
Right. Yeah, but they miss a couple people were concerned about the dog barking during a client phone call. That was one of the things that they were concerned about. But almost everybody said that they missed the socialization. They miss seeing the coworkers that are not on their team on a more regular basis. They miss Secret Santa. They miss the Halloween dress up. And so that's natural. I mean, we're humans like to be around other humans and humans like to interact with each other. You know, as I ponder those comments from an agency principal or somebody that's trying to run a business, I'm not sure that it's my job to provide the social club. They will say that they're more productive and they enjoy their alone time, but then on the flip side, they miss seeing people. But I think they forget about all the office politics and how sometimes they didn't want to see some of those people. I think that as we shift, we've got to find ways to leave the office at 4:30, the home office, and get involved with a charity or a club of some sort, and fill that socialization need with like people that you actually can jive with and that you could have common threads with. But that was the one thing. They miss the camaraderie. We do try to get the team together as often as possible. In fact, tomorrow night, we are taking the entire team on a party bus to see a Journey concert at the Harpeth Civic Center.
That's
so
cool.
So we'll get together and they'll have that nice social time. But and we'll try to do that throughout the year. We'll do events like that. But the day to day is tough.
Yeah, if you think about replacing that office cost that you mentioned, you know, selling your building and not having that load that a lot of agencies have, whether they're renting or owning, you replace that with events like the party bus. I mean, that's just really cool, and it makes complete. You can make an economic case that could be a regular that could be a regular thing. One of our clients does two retreats a year. They go with one of them is just the staff. The other, and they go play. They fly, get on planes. The other one, and they're remote, 100% remote too. The other one time they do it is they bring the staff and plus ones if they wish. So it's a night, and the reason for it is just simply we're not paying rent, so let's find another thing to do. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, we're not opposed to that. Our new employee that I mentioned is in the Nashville area, and there's a petition going around within the office for us to take him to Nashville. And quite frankly, we'll take that under serious advisement, because you're right. We estimate we're saving close to $200,000 a year by not having an office for everything from the coffee bar to the rent to the maintenance on a building. And so we have the funds that we can reinvest and to make sure that team and that culture stays strong.
Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you, Spencer, I know that in the insurance world, there's a real need to have people who are very highly skilled at technical things. We get our designations, our certifications, we understand what's in the policy, what the endorsement does. We dive into that stuff. And the customers, they kind of understand the importance of insurance, but they might be looking for a little bit more. As humans, we're sort of drawn to the soft skills, the stuff that, and maybe you made this decision when you hired that person after you had six good finalists. It's like, what is that X factor? What is it beyond the basic technical skill, be able to write, for example, put a sentence together, speak in a sentence. What are those soft skills? I think they're going to be maybe not. I mean, it's a question. Are they increasingly more important to the culture build that's going on now in a remote workforce? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that we have the ability to be better than we were because we're living in a technology world, and the online programming that's out there, the podcasts, the YouTube videos, the blogs. In the old days, we were sort of stuck in an office, and I know a lot of principals, because of my involvement with the Big Eye, I know a lot of principals that wouldn't allow their employees to go to an educational class with the Big Eye because they were afraid that their employee would meet a principal of another firm and get poached. So I think that we were very weak with staying technical because we were all living in inside of four walls. Now we're living in the World Wide Web, and everything is at your disposal to learn as much as you can. And I think the carriers have done a really good job, as has the Big Eye, of bringing deliverables right to us. And we can watch them and listen to them at our convenience. So I think from a technical standpoint, an educational standpoint, we're not losing. We're only gaining as the world changes.
I just got a couple more questions for you. Oh, I have a tons, but in time-wise, I want to ask you a couple more. Have you seen, what has the customer said about all this? And are you seeing growth? I mean, you mentioned that you're having some good years here. Are you seeing growth in any particular category, customer segment? What is the shift you've seen from the customer, the consumer side?
Well, the customer doesn't really even know that we've gone remote because, again, gets back to what we do, and that's mostly property and casualty, personal lines. And it was not people walking through our front door. So our interaction with clients was mostly telephone and email. We've now added that Zoom dimension because all of the clients know how to use Zoom. And so where I used to go to New York City and do four client reviews in a day, I now whip those off in 4 hours through a Zoom and give myself another 6 hours. And I think that's where the growth has come in, is our producers are working smarter. They're not driving to have a lunch that turns out to be useless. They're having coffee over Zoom with someone. And I think that from digital marketing, I think that we've just found a different way to find clients. And I think we've added hours to our day to prospect. I know that my main role is as a producer, and I have so many more hours now that I can schedule a Zoom or a phone call. Doesn't mean that I sit behind a desk at all times. I still go out and about as a producer, but it's worked out great for us.
Okay. So the final question here is around culture. You've talked a lot about culture. There are folks listening to this who probably have gone back to the office, at least in a hybrid sense. I've been doing a bit of traveling, and I've seen a lot of Main Street independent agencies who are kind of back, kind of not back. Does the bottom up decision making work? I know it works for you, obviously, but what advice would you have for other business owners in our industry who are considering just what do I do here? What is the right balance? I feel like if people aren't in the office, they're not working. It's scary for a lot of them.
I think that's the number one resistance, is they don't know how to manage in a virtual environment. And my brother and I have learned so much over 20 years, and we used to manage top down. And what our employees tell us, the ones that have been with us the whole time and the ones that have arrived since then, is they love the fact that we trust them. We give them the tools to do a job, and we trust that they're going to get the job done. And quite frankly, if they don't, then we'll have to make some tough decisions, because maybe remote commuting isn't for everybody. But trust is the biggest word. In my opinion, if you can't trust somebody, then don't hire them and don't have them on your team. But we spend so much time distracted by managing people that I really think is not necessary. I think that you need to give them a job description. In our case, they get a book of business. I won't get into, because we talked about it on the last podcast, but we do a net promoter score survey that goes out. I know who's thriving, and I know when people are falling down. With plenty of reports we can run behind the scenes, not only on utilization of the computer, but actions/activities. So you can manage through reports. The phone system's VoIP. I know who's on the phone, who they're calling, how long they're on it. But the reality is that's just a waste of time, because your gut tells you who's getting it done. And if it's not, then you can dive into it. But trust them to do the job. And we've just sort of let go. And it's been so much fun to watch them be the CEO of their own book of business, and to watch them succeed and give them that power. And it's amazing what they can do when you just let them run free like that. So we feel that they're all adults and they're all smart. Let them do their job.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, listen, thank you. Good luck for the rest of 22. It sure sounds like things are going well. I wanted to check in with you. That was a very popular recording back in, I think it appeared in January 21, because everybody was trying to figure it out. So it looks like you guys have your path. Hope folks here have learned some things once again from you. Thanks for doing that survey. That's so interesting. And we'll see you around the circuit.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for your opportunity.
And thanks again to our friends at Nationwide.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.